The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to where there was a garden, into which he and his disciples entered. Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas got a band of soldiers and guards from the chief priests and Pharisees and went there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, knowing that everything was going to happen to him, went out to them and said,
"Whom are you looking for?"
They answered him.
Jesus.
He said to them,
"I am."
Judas, his betrayer, was also with them. When he said to them, "I am," they turned away and fell to the ground. So again he asked them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
They said,
"Jesus answered."
Jesus answered,
"I told you that I am. So if you are looking for me, let this man go."
This was to fulfill what he had said, "I will not lose any of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword into its scabbard. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father gave me?"
So the band of soldiers, the tribune, and the Jewish guard seized Jesus, bound him, and brought him to Annas first. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews that it was better for one man should die rather than the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Now the other disciple was known to the high priest and entered the courtyard of the high priest with Jesus. But Peter stood at the gate outside. So when the other disciple, the acquaintance of the high priest, went out and spoke to the gatekeeper and brought Peter in, the maid who was there at the gatekeeper said to Peter, he said, "Now the slaves and the guards were standing around a charcoal fire that they had made because it was cold and they were warming themselves. Peter was also standing there keeping warm. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine. Jesus answered him,
"I have spoken publicly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogue or in the temple area where all the Jews gather. And in secret, I have said nothing. Why ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said."
When he had said this, one of the temple guards standing there struck Jesus and said,
"Is this the way you answer the high priest?"
Jesus answered him,
"If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?"
Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing there keeping warm. And they said to him, he denied it and said,
"I am not."
One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the one whose ear Peter had cut off, said, again, Peter denied it, and immediately the cock crowed. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium. It was morning, and they themselves did not enter the praetorium in order that they would not be defiled, so that they could eat Passover. So Pilate came out and said to them,
"What charge do you bring against this man?"
They answered him and said, "At this, Pilate said to them,
Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law.
The Jews answered him, in order that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, and that he said, indicating the kind of death he would die. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him,
are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus answered,
do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?
Pilate answered,
I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?
Jesus answered,
my kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom didn't belong to this world, my attendants will be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here.
So Pilate said to him,
then you are a king?
Jesus answered,
you say, I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into this world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice.
Pilate said to him,
what is truth?
When he had said this, he again went out to the Jews and said to them,
I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at Passover. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?
They cried out again,
Barabbas.
Now Barabbas was a revolutionary. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. And the soldiers wore a crown of thorns and placed it on his head, and clothed him in a purple cloak. And they came to him and said, and they struck him repeatedly. Once more, Pilate went out and said to them,
look, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him.
So when Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple cloak, and he said to them,
behold the man.
When the chief priests and the guards saw him, they cried out, Pilate said to them,
take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no guilt in him.
The Jews answered,
we have a law, and according to that law, God has crucified him. He is the King of the Son.
Now when Pilate heard this statement, he became even more afraid and went back into the praetorium and said to Jesus,
where are you from?
Jesus did not answer him. So Pilate said to him,
do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and I have power to crucify you?
Jesus answered him,
you will have no power over me if it had not been given to you from above. For this reason, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin.
Consequently, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out,
if you release him, you are not a friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself king opposes Caesar.
When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and seated him on the judge's bench at the place called the stone pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was preparation day for Passover. It was about noon. And he said to the Jews,
behold your king.
They cried out,
take him away, crucify him.
Pilate said to them,
shall I crucify your king?
The chief priests answered,
we have no king but Caesar.
Then he handed him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus and, carrying the cross himself, went out to the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on either side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had an inscription put on the cross. It read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Now many of the Jews read this inscription because it was on a place where Jesus was crucified, was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Pilate answered,
"What I have written, I have written."
Then the soldiers that had crucified Jesus took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. When they took his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top down. So they said to one another, in order that the passage of Scripture might be fulfilled that says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my vestures they cast lots." This was what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved was there, he said to his mother,
"Woman, behold your son."
Then he said to the disciple,
"Behold your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that Scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said,
"I thirst."
There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in the wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said,
"It is finished."
And bowing his head, he handed over his spirit. Please kneel. Now, since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and that they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when he came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, he did not break his legs, but one soldier thrust a lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true, for he knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you may also believe. For this happened so that the scripture passage might be fulfilled, "Not a bone of it will be broken." And another passage says, "They will look upon him to whom they have pierced." After this, Joseph of Arimathea, secretly a disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate if he could remove the body of Jesus. Pilate permitted it. So he came and took the body. Nicodemus, the one who had first come to him at night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus, bound it with burial cloths with spices, according to the Jewish burial custom. Now in the place where he had been crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had yet been buried. So they laid Jesus there because of the Jewish preparation day, for the tomb was close by. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you go into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you go into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you go into your kingdom. I remember one of the questions someone asked me. And she asked me, why is it that on a day like this, we call it a Good Friday, on a day when our Savior, when Jesus was nailed on the cross? How is it that our Savior was nailed on the cross and we still call it a Good Friday instead of calling it a Bad Friday? I now try to explain to him the reason why we call it Good Friday. I told him that it was a turning point in human history. It was a time when the clock was turned round, because before this time, humanity strayed. Humanity was living in sin. When we remember the story of Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and Eve, God put them in the Garden of Eden, where everything was provided. And God gave him instruction, do not eat this fruit. Adam and Eve were deceived by the devil, and they ate the fruit. And when they ate the fruit, because of their disobedience, they were chased away from the Garden of Eden. From that moment, humanity lived in darkness because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. But God did not wait until humanity returns to reconcile with him. Rather, he came and sent his son, who came and died on the cross. And the death of his son reverted. It was a reconciliation between God and humanity. So on a Good Friday was that very day when Jesus handed his life on the cross. That very day when God and humanity was reconciled. So I explained to him, it was something good, and that is why we call it Good Friday, because it was the turning moment in human history. My dear friends, we just read the Passion. We are being invited to put our lives and just a purse, our lives with the lives and the roles these people played in handing over our Lord to be crucified. Let us put ourselves in that situation. If I were to be Pilate, what is it that I could have done? If I were to be Judas, what is it that I could have done? If I am to be one of those who were shouting, crucify him, what is it that I could have done? Let us think about this. Let us continue to pray and to meditate that as we join our Savior on this journey, that we will also receive the blessings of the resurrection as we await his resurrection. Let us also pray that this will be a reawakening of our faith. This moment should be a moment of deeper reflection and appreciation to Jesus for what he had to undergo in order to reconcile God with humanity. Let us continue to pray that as Jesus rises from the tomb, that our faith will rise, our lives will rise, and that will be a transformation. And this transformation will be a light in our lives, in our families.